Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. On this episode, not only do we have our spoiler-free review of Minecraft, or a Minecraft movie, as it were, but our topic is, who thought that was a good idea? And other unlikely movie concepts, plus Coyote vs. Acme is saved, YouTube takes on fake trailers, theatrical windows are getting longer again, we plot Jason Statham's next movie, some news from CinemaCon, some big news from CinemaCon, and we'll catch you up on all of what we've been watching. You can always check timestamps if you want to skip around. Let's get on with the show. My name is Aaron Peterson. Joining me today are my fellow host, John Davenport.
Hey, buddy.
Amanda Sink.
Hello, hello.
Troy Heinrichs.
Nope.
Did he get sucked into that severance workplace?
He is no longer an outie. He is stuck as an innie.
I just wanted to tee that up so you could finally get this off your chest. You've been saying it's outie anything all day, and I don't understand it, so... Yeah,
I wanted to play a game on the podcast.
So did I, but they canceled Saw, so I can't do it.
But this would have been fun because, it's like a trend right now in the actual Severance cast. And
is this a spoiler? Don't spoil anything.
It's not. Okay, no. It's not. But they did this. It's if you've watched Severance, you know that there's an innie and an outie. Innie is the people at work. Your outie is the person outside of work. And this therapist, her name is Gemma. When she sits down with you, she has this beautiful Zen, very monotone voice. And it's very, you're innie. And so the whole thing is like, now people are roasting each other with it. So
it's you're like this at work, you're like this at home. Is that what the idea is?
But you can just focus on like, it's just the person. So... Mine could be...
That's what I'm getting at. Amanda, you're like this at work and like this at home. Is that what
any outie... Well, you don't need to separate it. But yes, that's what an innie versus outie is.
This is why is this so complicated?
It's not.
Okay.
But the whole thing is you would just sit down and you would like... You'd use that same voice. Your innie loves to take walks is like a positive one. But a roasting would be like your innie... is never on time to fucking anything, and that's for me.
Well, that elevated quickly.
Yeah, that got rough real fast.
But I thought it would be fun if we shuffled names and then the four of us roasted each other with
Severance. Last time we did something like this, we were going to do something sweet and nice to and like talk about how great each other were by comparing them to cartoon characters or whatnot, and I got fucking Eeyore, so no, we're not going to do this shit.
Okay, I don't know why you get okay, that was episode 600. That was the last. Go listen, it's a fun.
Good episode.
I can't believe that you would be surprised and or irritated by that comparison.
It's mostly accurate.
Honestly, I think it's almost too on the nose, John. It's a little...
I don't agree with either one of you two people.
Are you drinking? No, you don't even drink that much. So what? Is it acid? Cocaine? What?
LSD.
If it was cocaine, I would be more Tigger than anything else.
It's something. If you don't Facts. See that comparison, it doesn't necessarily mean negative. I like Eeyore. He's adorable. He's plush.
And he's just so sad.
He's got a good color. You know, he's got a soft
look. The best thing about Eeyore is the fact that his friends always keep him engaged no matter what. So that's the sweet thing about
Eeyore. They care about him.
Eeyore sucks by himself. I'm actually fun by myself, and I swear by that.
You're right. When you yell at people, they definitely get the feeling that you're fun by yourself. Not that you should be maybe locked up in a small cell somewhere for monetary.
I'm an amazing person.
You are an amazing person. Your innie is an amazing person, John.
Stop it right
She's
now.
She's going to do this the whole damn episode.
But I think it would be fun, even if we were nice to each other.
Well, we'll see.
But how timely would it have been?
We'll see. You know, now we've ruined it, you know? And plus, I'd have to think on this. I mean, if I'm going to roast somebody, I want to go Tom Brady level. Like I want to get into it.
Oh, yeah. See, that's exactly why I can't be involved. I don't have the skin thick enough for this right now.
I probably don't either, but I'm willing to take it.
See, you know what? I may stand up for the fact that I'm not Eeyore, but I also identify the fact that I'm not very thick-skinned right now.
At least you're honest about it.
Yeah.
At least you're honest about it. I can handle it. I can be fine. I'll be fine. You know what? I should preface this with two things. One, remember, you can always find more information at thehollywoodoutsider.com. We're on Facebook, X, Threads, wherever you find your podcast. You can rate us and subscribe on your preferred podcast app. And be sure to check out our true crime podcast, Inspired by a True Story, if you have not yet. Also, for longtime listeners, sometime listeners, occasional listeners, whatever you are, we are trying to change a couple things about the podcast going forward. One thing is we're changing to Friday release. So we've released on Wednesdays the whole time for many, many years.
Or whatever.
Over a decade, for sure. 14, maybe. And what we're going to do is we're going to shift to Fridays and try to make sure when we do a full review, it's actually the week of release. I know it's always been Wednesday, which is usually following an opening, and we're just trying to get ahead of that. You know, it's just something I've wanted to do for a long time, and I think we can do it. And the other thing is, we've had this request many times about, you know, sometimes the show can be too long, even though I enjoy it, but it's hard to keep caught up because there's so many podcasts now, because I don't know if you heard, everybody has one. Everyone in John's family, Amanda's family, my family, everybody has one now. Everyone.
Yeah, the whole world. We each have two or three that we're working on right now.
Exactly. So everybody has a podcast. So we're trying to keep it more to an hour. An hour and 10, something like that. But around that mark, less 3 hours and 45 minutes or whatever episode 600.
Ah, the good old days.
Yeah. Back in the days when we had a little bit more time and everybody had more time to listen. So it's not... We're not really cutting much out of the show. It's just a lot of the extra stuff we're probably doing a little less of, or tightening, right? Focusing, honing.
Yeah, we're hitting it with that pen that everyone seems to be hitting themselves up and to lose weight with lately.
Yeah, like this is the Ozempic of podcasts, is what we're doing.
That's what I was going to go for. Thank you, Aaron. Mm-hmm.
You're welcome. And we're already 9 minutes in. We haven't talked about anything entertainment. So far, we're doing great.
I was going to say, we're shit on time management already because you've spent 5 minutes telling them how we're going to reduce the episode. 5 minutes on that. So,
you know what? Later, we're going to talk about things that we've watched and catch up with you guys because we haven't talked in a little bit. And Amanda had a list of 47 shows that she wanted
it's
to talk
four.
About.
Okay,
it's T7. Four. It's a lot. It's a lot. Well, we should get excited because this week, big news, Coyote versus Acme will no longer be scrapped like Batgirl was. Warner Brothers was going to scrap the whole movie as a tax write-off. That's like a live action where Wile E. Coyote sues Acme Chemical. And now that movie will come out. Ketchup Entertainment made a deal, I think around $50 million, so that the movie will get a theatrical.
Ketchup Entertainment?
Yeah. Yeah. And they saved the last Looney Tunes movie, too. So, you know, this is the story. Catch up.
I really hope that there's a mustard!
Okay. don't do it because you're about to explain a whole joke and yeah.
Oh, we don't need to explain mustard.
Woo sa.
But this sounds good for people who were excited.
Not like that joke. Yeah, right. It does sound good. So I will tell you, this is one of those things where I think now that it'll finally come out, watch this movie just be freaking terrible. Because there's been so much made about them ditching Looney Tunes. They've kind of, you know, they stripped it off Max. They were going to just write this movie off, and now it's going to be released, and I just hope the movie's good, because honestly, the internet won that one, right? This is kind of like the redesign of Sonic the Hedgehog.
Well, and to be fair, they only stripped the classic Looney Tunes off of Max. The newer stuff, which doesn't hit the same way, is still on there.
That's the stuff I want to see. If I'm going to go back, which I won't, I'll be honest. I have. I wouldn't. Okay, well, for you, because you were very upset.
Yeah, I was. I hate the idea that the classic cartoons are art history to me. They tell a story, and they tell of a story of a certain time of our lives and what that time meant to us. And those stories were there to be uplifting and entertaining for both children and adults. So it was built perfectly for the time. And they are very much art history, and they are a commentary of the times and the history in which they were created. So that's why they're so great, is that if you look at them on the multi levels that they sit on, fantastic bit of history. They hit so much different than the new stuff. The new stuff is very much trying to cater to children and not cater so much to adults, and it's trying to be safe and it's trying to be all these things. And I don't know if I agree with cartoons being as safe as they want them to be, but I don't know. Maybe I'm a product of my own time.
I love that for you.
Thanks.
I love that look for you. I love it. What do you love for him that he likes?
No, just that was like a mic drop moment. Like
I have those once a year. That was it.
Usually when your mic literally falls down, that's usually what happens. But
okay.
Sorry. Shouldn't
cartoons
be.
Were built different though in the past. Like, let's be very honest about that. John's right that they were much more creative, and
I don't agree with that.
I don't think I said that. I just said that they reflect the
time. No, I'm telling you my thoughts. Okay. I feel like cartoons were made better than they are now. Because they hit on something that was available to all audiences.
Don't you think that's nostalgia?
Whereas I feel like the cartoons, no, it's about the one point that John did make that like I would connect to is that they were made for adults and children. Like there was something for both. I just started rewatching some of my old cartoons that I liked when I was younger. And I was like, wow, there's a lot of adult jokes in here I had no idea about. And I don't feel like we still get that same creativity today with cartoons.
It's probably not as subtle. Maybe that is fair. I don't think it's as subtle because I do think there's plenty of adult humor in the old. I mean, Wile E. Coyote's basically just beating the shit out of himself and for 5 minutes at a stretch. Bugs Bunny is literally terrorizing a hunter while he's trying to terrorize a rabbit. I mean, those aren't nice. Pepe Le Pew is totally a stalker. I mean, there's all kinds of just wrongness in a lot of those cartoons, but I think these days they're trying to be more adult and edgy, where then it was just, they seemed more kid friendly when they really weren't.
I feel different. I feel like
the
cartoons used to be more bold and used to be more adult. Even SpongeBob, like everybody thought that was like super kids, just for kids, and it wasn't. But now you have things like Bluey, just as an example, which is a popular cartoon. I know it's for like younger audiences, but it doesn't like, I haven't found it to be impactful where it's a takeaway, a lesson that you learn, or that there's something for adults in there too. It feels like it's made just for kids. It feels very basic, like throw out there for just kids to enjoy. Well, and that's where I feel like there's not as much creativity put into it that it used to have.
You may be onto something. I think the ultimate point we're trying to land on as far as like what the differences are is that stuff like Bluey, stuff like Barney, which isn't a cartoon, but I'm using it as an example. Those are specifically designed to be babysitters on the TV so that a toddler can just zero in on the TV and be okay for about 5 minutes. Whereas when we're talking about the animated stories of Looney Tunes and even some of the older Disney cartoons, they were designed to be kind of fodder before what happened to the main part of a story. So adults and children were both sitting down and watching this before any sort of story that would happen. It would be a cartoon reel before the movie that happened. So that's why they're built the way they were. Sure. The other facet is the actual creation of the medium. So you have animated cartoons that were animated by hand all the way up until about the 90s. It was pretty common to still be animating by hand, and then you have from about the 2000s on, you start seeing the addition to computers. And I have a theory that I haven't sat down and tried to prove or anything, but I think that the life that's in a hand animated cartoon is more attractive to visually to a child versus the lifeless, almost too perfect visualization from the computer animated stuff. And that's why you see that some of the older cartoons still have an impact that they even had back then versus the life that you see inside some of these new cartoons just doesn't hit the same way because it doesn't have that same shaky quality or the muddiness of the color because they're using real paints and they're mixing the colors together. I look at something as stupid as how Beavis and Butthead was purposely animated in a way to have dirty water in it. And it added to that whole nature of what the... See, this is why you don't get me on cartoons, because I can start talking wax.
What about dirty water?
So Beavis and Butthead purposely used dirty water to mix the colors.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, this is fascinating. Look at this.
I had no idea that was a thing.
An educational podcast.
It's, but here we are. When Mike Judge was doing Beavis and Butthead, he purposely wanted to have it to have like this weird feel to it. So they would use dirty water to mix the colors together. So that's why everything has this muddiness to it.
Fire. Liar, pants off. Oh, I almost got in trouble there.
But yeah, that's the kind of thinking that goes into some of that hand drawn cartoon that doesn't go into the same sort of computer modern animated stuff.
Animation. Yeah. Sure. Okay. Look at that, Amanda. We grew. I don't know if you saw that, but we just grew.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very happy.
Good job.
And that was a total impromptu conversation based off of like Acme and Coyote being taken off the shelf.
God, I really hope that movie doesn't suck. Okay. So
now
YouTube turned off ad sharing for fake AI trailers, or at least for a couple of those big ones, like Screen Culture, I think, is one of them. And these are movies that don't actually exist, right? So it's the trailers where they take footage and they kind of combine it with some AI and make it look like something else entirely, or make it a completely different trailer. Maybe it's for a sequel. Maybe it's for a potential reimagining, you know, whatever it is. Basically, there was some reporting done on Deadline and whatnot, and YouTube got wind of it and said, oh, no, we're shutting this down. Now, studios have actually not shut this down because they could report copyright infringement and blow this all up, but they haven't because they actually make some money off it, too. Like, they get shares of anything where copywritten material is being used. So they've been enjoying some of the financial spoils of it. I just want to know, do you think this is fair? If the studios are okay with it, is it fair? If they're okay with it. I mean, I don't want to speak for them. I'm just saying they weren't shutting it down and they could.
I think it's fair. And the reason why I would say I think it's fair is because you officially have people who are using AI not as a tool, but as a final product. That's where you start blurring the line of what AI is meant to do. AI is meant to help us get past the line faster. It's not supposed to take over. It's not supposed to be a cheat code to make something happen. It's just supposed to help us create something a little bit faster, a little bit easier, and give us more time in our life. And what these people are doing by using AI as a way to create these trailers is they're putting inputs that work, and they might be putting in some resources that the AI is building off of, but the amount of time that they're investing and the amount of skill they're investing to be able to get the kind of payout they were getting from YouTube is a little unfair.
I don't like the idea of duping people. I don't like that. I mean, misinformation is a thing. We could go on 6 podcasts about that. You know, it is a real problem in every element. I mean, it's there in news, it's there in media, it's there in trailers. I can't tell you how many times, because we've had this podcast forever, I get asked every single week if so-and-so is a real thing. Is this really a real thing? Is this real news? Is this a real trailer? Is this really going to happen? Like, because we read up on this and keep up on this, and I keep on it very religiously. I mean, I'm constantly reading the dailies and news items like directly.
Legitimately, I don't know how you keep up with it.
I don't either sometimes, but my brain likes to keep up and I want to be informed. And I've been almost duped a couple of times where I see something, I'm like, is that true? And I'll have to go and like dig into it. I'm like, no, it's not true. And I will tell you, if you ever go to our Facebook page, nothing gets posted there that isn't verified. And I mean verified. So that's all. You can take it to the bank. I'm not going to post something, or I will clearly say this is a rumor, which I don't like to post rumors at all. So it'll be very rare that happens. But anyway, so I don't like people making money off this. Now, if studios are okay with it and they don't seem to care that it's deriding or devolving their product, I guess. I mean, that's their right, right? It's their IP. You can do whatever. But I think it really dilutes everything, because as soon as you have things that are fake, people either get frustrated by it. Once they learn it's not, they lose interest. They get excited for something that isn't there. It's just a hoodwink. It's a scam. It's a car salesman. I don't like it. I'm not a fan.
Well, those are all good points. But the other way, I look at it also as an artist, right? So as an artist, whenever I do something and it's a finished piece, somebody's like, oh my God, that's great. How did you do that? AI? And they just automatically assume it's AI, because now everything is AI, especially when it comes to the art world, because you have all these people.
Isn't that also a factor? Because a lot of people, and I don't mean this, I'm not trying to discourage anyone. I'm sure you're listening. You probably understand it completely. But there are a lot of people that just don't understand what AI is supposed to be or what it is. They think it's Terminator. It's fucking robots. Robots are coming to kill us. Yeah. And it probably will be, by the way.
But that's true. The thing is, though, is that I was trying to get paid for my artwork, right? Mm-hmm. So because I'm producing artwork and I'm doing something and people are loving it and I'm getting paid for it, it could take me a full, let's say 8 hours to produce a good piece, maybe even longer, depending on the size of the piece or the detail of the piece. It could be anywhere from like 8 hours to a week that I'm putting of my time into creating something. When you throw AI in the mix and you have somebody who is a quote unquote, and I say that with as much sarcasm as possible, but it's quote unquote AI artist, and that takes them, if I'm being generous, maybe 30 minutes to put a couple of prompts together to come up with a piece of art. And then they say, this is sellable art. That's not fair to the person who is genuinely putting their energy and everything they've learned for the last 30, 40 years of their life to create artwork. It's not fair to be able to do that. And then the same people get paid. So you're devaluing the actual artist who's probably getting paid $30, $40, $50, $60 an hour at the cheap side. Or you're giving somebody who's an AI artist who can just say flat rate and just do something out of AI, you're giving him too much money.
Well, you care, you care more about the AI side of it. I care more about the duping of people side of it.
Well, there's duping of people happening on my side too.
My feelings on this are completely different than your guys's.
Okay, what are your feelings?
I am supportive of them getting revenue from these videos. My only thing is I think they need to have it somewhere that it's not real, whether it's the description of the video or something, but somewhere that says this isn't real. And kind of like Aaron said, if the companies are fine with their IP being used in these what if scenarios, then why is it an issue for us? I feel like it's still an artist doing artistic things because somebody still has to create the idea. Somebody's still creating the vision for it, even if they're not the ones that are putting it all together. And I do agree that artists that are more intentional with the craft of them actually doing step by step should have like a higher rate of pay than someone who utilizes AI. But to me, I see it more as a tool. We have so many tools in the art world that are there to make it easier for you. This is just another form of it. But do I think it should be paid the same or that the rates should be consistent? No, because it's a different level of mastery and effort going into it.
Well, it's interesting because the reason for them shutting off monetization is that the policies state you need to change it significantly to make it your own, and videos cannot be duplicative or repetitive and should not be made, and I love this, quote, for the sole purpose of getting views. What are... That's literally every video on YouTube.
That's literally what YouTube is.
It's literally what YouTube is.
And if you monetize it, there's obviously a goal of getting more viewers. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
It's weird. And
the response from KH Studio...
That's the other one. That's a big one.
Yeah, that the intention of it is to entertain with what-if ideas, not to mislead people. And that's what I'm supportive of. Entire Marvel Disney show about what if. There's a comic book series called What If. This is just another facet of that.
I think they're full of shit, but they can take that stance if they want. I think they're perfectly happy misleading people. And it's fun.
The other part of what's dangerous here is that AI artwork or videos cannot be copyrighted. That's a big deal. So if I created something, it can be copyrighted. So you're saying
artists that built something, they built these movies or products or whatever, they're never going to get residuals off of that.
Right. Right. They should, and they shouldn't get it because
Well, the original artist should. The people that helped make the movie should. The actors, creators, filmmakers.
Right. Because remember, a lot of what AI uses to get all the information it has to build what it can build is from everything else in the world. So it just borrows and steals from everything else around it to create this vision that people have already created. And it just gives you a vision of it much faster. That's why it cannot be copyrighted because it's actively stealing from other things.
All right. Well, I think we've.
But isn't all of art stealing from other things?
Oh, boy.
If you think about
Oh, boy. Here we go.
I'm just saying.
You're going to get the artist wired. You're going to get them wired. Let's talk about something else. And I will try to keep this one brief because I know I've talked about this before. But, you know, CinemaCon just was this week. And the Organization of Theater Owners, formerly called NATO, it's no longer NATO because they realized, hey, this is dumb to have it called that because, you know, it sounds like something else. So now it's Cinema United, I believe, is what they changed their name to. But they're having, like, they're starting to finally push back on studios. And studios are starting to be frustrated, too, because of theatrical windows. And I'm gonna explain this as quickly and as sensical as I can. A theatrical window means from the time a movie hits the theaters, because some people don't know what this means, to the time that it is released in a digital or at-home format. So basically from theatrical to at-home. Now, it used to be 60 to 90 days before COVID. And I always thought those windows were too long, right? When you've got something that's 90 days, I always thought that was too long. So COVID went the extreme other way. Just like everything else these days, we always go the extreme, right? We can't just find a middle ground. So because of COVID and everybody freaked out, they had those windows either the same day, which caused a big problem. Max was doing same day releases and they dropped that after that year was over because they lost a fortune on that. And they want to get back to theatrical windows, but they keep panicking when movies don't do well. So what they're doing is they've trained people to just wait for it to show up at home. Just wait. It'll show up at home. So theatrical windows now can be anywhere from 30 days to 2 weeks. Disney's actually the one of the few ones that has kind of gotten back to longer windows. Their theatrical windows are about 60 days or 45 to 60 days. And why that matters is if you're putting it on digital 2 weeks after it comes out, people can see it. What also happens is people with Plex accounts can, quote unquote, find it. Now, that's the same as seeing it at home for a lot of people. And a lot of people know how to use a Plex server. I hate to say it. It's just the way of the world. And Plex is it's pirating is what it is. You can call it whatever you want. It's basically pirating. So by not having these windows, you're really cutting into people thinking of theaters as an event. And they're starting to realize, okay, people are back to normal. People are living their lives. There is no more real COVID situation. So we need to get these windows back to extended to 45 to 60 days. So people get back in the habit of, if you really want to see it now, you're going to have to go to a theater when it comes out in a theater. Otherwise, you're going to have to wait. I'm all for that. I've been all for that. I've talked about it multiple times in the show, and I don't want to drag that out. But I'm kind of curious, do you guys feel any differently than you have in the past in terms of theatrical windows? Do you think they're important, or do you think this is it's just the world changed and we just need to get on board?
I think it's important at this point. I think we really need to do something to get on board. Like, why it matters. Like, right now we have a lot of audience confusion. People don't know if the movie's going to be gone in a week or not.
Big time. Big time.
Smaller films lose out because it only leaves rooms for blockbusters to do well in the theater. And marketing needs room to breathe for theatrical runs to work. So these are all reasons why it matters for theatrical windows to be able to be extended out to a certain way, is to really hit it from all directions and improve the situation for everybody as a whole.
And also, I got to say, you don't have movies leaving a mark as indelibly. Indelibly?
That's close. Indelible ink. Yeah, that's close.
As indelibly as they used to. And what I mean by that is, you know, a movie plays 10 weeks or whatever, Superbad, you know, runs for 10 weeks. People are going to be talking about it for 10 years. Now movies will come out, they disappear. Nobody talks about them. I mean, it happens all the time. And that's a big factor of everything being so accessible whenever you want it, however you want it. I know a lot of people love that. I don't. And that's a big reason why. I don't think you have those memories being made as much anymore, which is too bad. You know, it's too bad.
I don't ever want our theater experiences to go away, but I also don't want to see every movie in the theater anymore. A lot of them I'm fine watching at home. I don't need to see it in a theater. So personally, I appreciate like a shorter theatrical window, but I also want the theaters to be able to sustain and the industry to sustain. So it's important for us to still have those theater going experiences and not just rely on the streaming.
All right. Now let's move into our From the Outside In topic. But before we do, our show is independently funded. Therefore, all of the expenses are from our own pockets. Patreon helps fans support their favorite podcast. Once you sign up, you get immediate access to all the content in your respective tier. We just had our Inside South by Southwest episode, which I think was a lot of fun. And also, you can see the uncut version of episode 600, which is a good hour longer than what was released. And also on video. Now you understand what it
and
is.
And also, Aaron was real drunk.
I don't know why we have to be so judgmental about that.
It's just facts. Just stating facts.
Fine. Whatever.
Him fun. And Brian actually got into a nice cuddle halfway through the show. It was adorable.
Who'd I cuddle with?
Brian. Who else would you cuddle with?
That's fair. All right. Well, if you want to support the show, it's patreon.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. Okay. So I want to talk about CinemaCon, right? And Amanda has stepped away. So it's just John and I right now. Are you excited?
I saw a lot of things pop up about CinemaCon today, and all of them were things that I'm like, I need to read that later. But like all of us, like I got things flying at me at 100 miles an hour. So tell me about what happened at CinemaCon today.
Okay, well, I'll tell you about it's been happening all week. And some of it actually started on April Fool's Day, which is the worst time to drop any kind of news because no one believes you. No one. But several like big tidbits of news. I'll go through just a couple things, right? And if you don't know what CinemaCon is, that's where theater owners gather to speak to the studio, or the studios go to sell their movies to the cinema, to the cinema owners, and then they get the opportunity to speak to the studios directly, right? So AMC chief has actually said he's got 3 of the 6 studios on board for at least a minimum of 45-day theatrical window, by the way, since we just talked about that. So 3 out of 6 have agreed to that. That's good news.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Now, some of the other stuff that's come out is in regards to the Avengers Doomsday, apparently it's going to be, we saw that huge casting list, right? Where it's like all these old X-Men and a bunch of other people. Well, apparently Doomsday is going to involve the new Avengers, the Fantastic Four, the Thunderbolts, the Wakandans, and the old X-Men teaming up to fight Dr. Doom. That's ultimately what the next one's going to be. That's exciting, I guess.
That's exciting. It sounds like a lot, but it's exciting.
Sounds like a lot. I think Marvel is desperate to keep hitting that nostalgia train, right? That's what they do now, apparently. But other exciting news, because honestly, I'm kind of sick of Marvel news, if I'm being honest with you. A little burned out on it's not having the same flavor. But I will say they did debut the 5-minute sneak, which is going to be before Minecraft. You know, if you see Minecraft, you're going to see it on the screen, but it's also online. 5-minute look at Superman, which I think actually won me over finally. I thought that looked great.
I thought it looked great too. A lot of it is from the trailer that we've already seen. But the thing that they added more of the crypto scene, and they added more of the Fortress of Solitude. And the crypto stuff, like almost immediately, I was like chuckling, and I had a welling in my chest over the excitement because of the crypto stuff. It was just so cute and adorable.
You're a goddamn sucker. It's a dog.
I'm a sucker for a good dog, you know? It's such a good boy.
I'm with
he's the best boy.
Who's the best boy?
Okay, well, that's one thing. Nobody 2 is confirmed. I think everybody knew that. That's coming out this summer.
Oh, great.
Yep, that'll be good. Some other one. Okay, so here's some big stuff. Now, John Wick 5, it's been rumored and talked about. Well, it's finally confirmed. And there was a whole lot of speculation, like, is Keanu going to come back? Is this going to be like some kind of additional spinoff? What's going to happen? He's confirmed. Keanu Reeves is coming back for John Wick 5. Chad Stahelski's going to direct it. It's after, I think, Highlander in his next movie. So it's coming soon. And, I mean, Keanu Reeves, he's 60 now. He's going to be like 61, and he's still going to do this. So
I just want to know what is it that these guys are taking to be able to do this sort of stuff, because I'm nowhere near my 60s and I can't move like some of these guys can, and I run and exercise pretty regularly.
I still make the argument that at least here in the US, Keanu Reeves is the best physical actor currently working in the US.
I don't have an opinion.
He's just very fluid. And you never finished Chapter 4, so you don't even know how it ends.
No, I don't even know how it ends. That's what, like,
it has an ending. It has a really solid ending.
You know what's even worse is I bought Chapter 4 and I haven't watched it yet.
That's why I just want to punch you in the face. But anyway, so that's definitely happening. Also, the Kane spinoff, who's a character from Chapter 4, if you bothered to watch it, it's Donnie Yen, and he's fantastic, and he's getting a spinoff movie, and he's going to direct it. And if you've ever seen his foreign films. He's a fantastic director. He knows action choreography. So I'm really excited for that. I think both of those films are going to be great. John Wick 5 and the Kane spinoff. And they're doing an anime film of John Wick. Like, they're really, Lionsgate's going all in on John Wick.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like a whole lot of John Wick.
It's a lot of John Wick. You know, I'm thinking he's back. You know what I mean?
That's the title of the fifth movie. I'm thinking I'm back.
Well, what I'm hoping is it's kind of like a spinoff story, and it's more about he just comes back for one more job kind of thing. That's what I'm hoping five is. Anyway, so the anime is going to show John Wick doing that impossible job that they always talk about in the movies.
Oh, yeah, the one that he did to buy himself out.
Yeah, to get himself out of it. So that's very exciting. That's very cool.
That's exciting. Yeah, that's going to be very cool.
Other big information, this is true, also came out on April 1st. Everybody thought it was a lie, but it's confirmed. It's true. Cliff Booth from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is coming back. I swear to God, this is a real thing. Brad Pitt's returning. Quentin Tarantino wrote a script for the further adventures of the stuntman and potential wife killer, Cliff Booth. And if you remember, he won an Oscar for this role. And David Fincher's going to direct it for Netflix. All of these things make no sense. Quentin Tarantino hates Netflix. He hates anything that doesn't go to theatrical. I'm kind of on his side on that respect. Prefer to see everything in the theater. But he wrote the script. Brad Pitt loved it. And, you know, I don't know if you remember this, but last year they were supposed to make a movie. We're getting ready to go before the cameras, and Tarantino pulled the plug. Pitt was going to star in it, I believe, as Cliff Booth. And it was called The Movie Critic. I don't know if it's the same script or a different script, but this particular script is something else that he wrote about Cliff Booth. And now Fincher and Pitt asked him as a favor if he could take the script to Fincher, and Tarantino agreed. And so now they're making the movie. It's a done deal. It's happening.
That's going to be interesting. Brad Pitt acting, written by Quentin Tarantino, directed by David Fincher.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a perfect storm of, like, just show me where it could possibly go wrong, because I can't see it.
It could be absolutely wonderful. Honestly, yeah. could be absolutely wonderful. And then the last one, I don't understand this one. Well, no, actually, there are a couple more. Spider-Man Brand New Day is the title for the fourth Spider-Man. Tom Holland is officially the first actor to play Spider-Man four times. That's coming out July 31st, 2026. So that's done. That's happening. And then... this one is kind of interesting, but weird. As of right now, Sony has announced that there's going to be a 4-film Beatles event. They're calling it the first ever bingeable moment in cinema. They're stating currently that all 4 films will roll out in April of 2028. And they're going to be directed by Sam Mendes. And the cast is as follows. Harris Dickinson is playing John Lennon. Paul Mescal is playing Paul McCartney. Barry Keoghan is playing Ringo Starr. And Joseph Quinn is playing George Harrison. Now, I personally think that will change in terms of the release, because nobody's going to see 4 movies in the same month. I just don't think that'll ever happen. But this is an interesting idea. And I wonder if they're going to do like one movie from each of their particular storylines.
Perspectives. Yeah. It is an interesting idea. I don't know if the Beatles is the right choice. I mean, I know that people still very much love the Beatles, but like that... I guess if there's a time to do a Beatles movie, it would be right now, because as far as the fans of the Beatles, there's not as many people as there would have been maybe 10 or 15, 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an interesting story. I'm wondering why they would choose the Beatles and this way of doing it. But hopefully their idea is brilliant.
I hope so, too. And there's a lot of other like TV renewals and stuff like that. Go to our Facebook page. We try to keep up with the cool information there. So go to facebook.com/TheHollywoodOutsider, and you can always find more information there. Now let's get to our From the Outside In topic. Okay, so this one's going to be a little short, because like I said, we're kind of adjusting to a new format. We'll find the rhythm here, but I just want to ask, why is Minecraft... a good idea? And
who said it is?
Hang on, let me ask the question here. So is Minecraft proof that Hollywood is really getting desperate for IP, or is this a good idea? Can you make a case that it's a good idea? Now we're gonna review it shortly. I'm not telling you how I feel about this movie until we get to the review. I won't do it. But is this a good idea? I mean, this is a game about blocks and shit.
Okay. So forgive me for being the one to stand up for a video game.
I'm not knocking video games, sir. I'm not.
I but here's the thing about Minecraft.
Okay.
I'm listening. Massive fan base. Over 3 million copies served. I think it's right up there with McDonald's as far as hamburgers at this point. And it's got a massive generational reach to it because the game's been around since
300 million. Not 3 million. 300 million.
That's what I meant to say.
That's a big difference, John.
It is a big difference. I may have said 3 million.
That's not McDonald's. That's more like Arby's. So
I'm looking at my notes, and I did not. I have 300 million. You're absolutely right. So, but still, over 300 million copies served. It is a generational video game because it's been around for such a long time that you have kids who are now adults who have their own kids who have their kids playing it at this point. So it's so many people at this point have found connections within this video game, and it's got its own community and fan base to it. So it's massive. So yeah, that's one of the reasons why I would say this is a good idea.
Yeah, but it's like,
what do you do with it?
You build blocks, right? That's it.
You're still building a life. Like there's mm-hmm. still. You still get to explore a lot of things. It's not as in-depth as Sims. It's like a basic level Sims.
Look, there's people who have built farms and just like ran farms on this thing. There's people who have built exact scale copies of the Enterprise on this thing where you can just like, I don't know how they would do it. You build the exterior of the Enterprise and then you're carving out the interior of the Enterprise and it's exactly the Enterprise size for size. So it's crazy what people have done within this game. But that's one of the reasons why a movie might work is because you have so much creative freedom to be able to just create this. You have a blank slate. You have this world, throw the world and then throw story at it. And that story could be whatever it is you want.
Okay, fair. But how do you, this is a serious question. Okay. And it's not going to sound serious, but it's a serious question. I don't know
why I did Yoda right there. I don't know why I did
that. How do you maintain authenticity to the video game related to the pixelization? Or do you just have to say, nah?
It's kind of like a combination of nah. I really hope
it's a nah. Otherwise, it's going to look like fucking Tomb Raider with her square or triangle. Well,
see, that's
titties.
The thing, though. That's the thing. What they're doing with the animation form is they're trying to maintain some of the integrity of the pixelated shapes and everything. But they know that's not going to play on the big screen. They absolutely know that. They can't. There's no way they're going to make that play. So what they're doing is they're using the block shape and making these characters kind of block shape within that aspect. So it's whatever the character would have looked like on the video game, but 4K instead of like 2P.
This reminds me, Amanda, you've seen this. I don't know if you have, John. Have you watched The Studio yet on Apple TV?
No, I haven't yet.
Okay, well, number one, great show. You should watch it. It's hilarious. Mm-hmm. Two, this reminds me of Kool-Aid so much. And
if
you haven't seen the show, I'll give you a quick explanation. Seth Rogen becomes a studio head, right? He finally takes over for the studio. And of course, everybody's got a boss. And his boss, they bought the rights to Kool-Aid. Now, they want to make a Kool-Aid movie. He wants to make a big, serious movie, but they want to make a Kool-Aid movie. So his boss is just like, give me a Kool-Aid movie. And so his job is to make a Kool-Aid movie. And he's trying to make one with like Martin Scorsese, and it ends up being this very, I don't want to ruin the episode, it ends up being this very dramatic pitch. But ultimately,
this is all happens in like the first episode. Yeah, this is just the first episode. He's spoiling a bunch.
But that's what it reminds me. I feel like the studio went out, bought the rights, said, we need Minecraft. And then they're just sitting around going, all right, make a Minecraft movie. And somebody's like, well, how do we make a fucking Minecraft movie? And they just go, I don't know, but make me one because we're going to make
But I
millions.
Get it because it's also kids. Like, to John's point, sure. The generational piece of it, sure. You have the adults who have been very invested. You have, and that connects especially to with like Jack Black being in it. But he's also a big fan favorite for kids. So then you get the kids in for not only Minecraft and just the IP of it, but then you also get them in with Jack Black, which is not as creepy as I just made it sound. But it's gonna make money. That's the craziest part of all of this.
I mean, Jack Black is today's equivalent of like a Dionysian parade at this point.
Wait,
like
that, what? He is. That went deep. What do you mean?
You know what? That's gonna be me for me.
I don't even know what that.
I don't know.
The Greek god Dionysus or Dionysus.
What?
I've heard it both
ways. I did not pay attention to Greek mythology. I'm not a Greek
mythology study. No, so what is it? Just explain what you were trying to say. Like, what is Jack
Black? So the Greek god Dionysus is known for being a party animal. He okay. When he shows up,
it seems like the easier way to say that, but I understand.
He elevates every situation with this great party. Huh?
We are not going to accept that. We're going to make him the dumb one, and that's just how it's going to be.
I said he just said it's smarter, and we were too dumb to get it.
So anyhow, he is Dionysus on Earth. He's out here. He's having the best time. He is committing to every single little bit and every single little thing. And he is having the best time. And it shows in most everything he produces. On top of that, you throw in the sheer animal magnetism. And I'm not going to try to sit there and put some like colorful other words on top of it, of Jason Momoa, who also is somebody who's showing up and just making a meal of all the mm-hmm. scenery that he possibly can in absolutely every movie that you throw him in.
This is also part of the Kool-Aid pitch. I really think this is that. Okay. So the studio heads are just sitting around going, we got the IP. We need a Minecraft movie. What's that about? It's about building blocks. Oh shit. You mean the Legos? Sure, kind of, but pixelated. Ah, cool. We're going to need Jack Black, and we're going to get Jason Momoa. We're going to pay him a shit ton of money. What's the movie about? We have no idea, Jim. Just make the movie. And then someone goes out and makes the movie. That's what I'm picturing. That's your
job.
Yeah, that's your job. I got the freaking rights. I got the movie, and now I got the actors. Make it happen.
I put it all together for you, Jim.
Yeah, I put Lobo in your goddamn Minecraft movie. Fix it. Make it work. Make this magic. Movie magic. Let's go. Chop, chop. And I mean, I get it. Like, John and I are big fans of Battleship. That's
fucking, oh my God.
That's fucking stupid. But we like the movie. And it has nothing to do with the game. It's not even close to the board game.
That's right.
They made it completely different, but it's kind of a fun movie. You know, it's stupid.
Peter Berg was like, how do I make a movie out of this?
Battle Shots?
Yes.
So fun. So fun.
What was the movie where they had battle shits? I'm sorry, that's just way off topic, but it
was- Harold and Kumar go to it's Harold and Kumar.
Are you go sure to White it Castle?
Yeah, it's because they go to the college to and they're that when they're at the yeah, college that's, right. That's when there's that two English girls are sitting there in the right. shitter next to each other and he's trapped in between the two of them.
I remember. Sorry, I'm not trying to be gross, but that's all I thought about. So yes, we played Battle Shots, Amanda, of course. I mean, it's a childish game. How dare you?
How dare
bring
you?
That up? We're far too adult for that.
Mm-hmm. They played last year.
Gonna play next year in the whole cruise. What?
What?
So I also, I want to say, is there any like games or movies that you think would be very, very hard to adapt, but you would love to just see them try to make a movie out of it? Like Tetris, the movie.
Well, I mean, after watching the Assassin's Creed movie, it'd be great if they did a good one.
Okay, well.
But that's neither here nor there.
But those are games where I think the narrative kind of lends to a film. Like, that makes sense to me. I'm talking about
Mysterium.
What is Mysterium?
Mysterium is, you've played Mysterium. Mysterium is
don't
a game where.
Don't speak to me like you know me. I don't know what Mysterium is. I've never heard of this game.
We played at Angela's house. For
did
one
we?
Of her Christmas parties, yes.
Oh, basically, yes, you did.
Yeah, basically.
How do you know, bitch? You're in Florida.
Because they introduced somebody I know to that game, and that person made me play the game. Mm-hmm. So that's
okay.
Like, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't remember this game. So.
So anyway, okay. So one person
mark left on me.
If you stop talking, just I will
work
explain
that word
it
in everywhere I can.
There's like it's almost like Clue, but you're trying to figure out who died, right, John? It's who died.
Yeah.
And there's one person who is like the host of all the information and you try to like figure it out from them, but you have to beat them and they're the ghost or something. I'm probably explaining this really bad.
Okay, but it's called Mysterium.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I'll have to dig that one out and let's see where the movie rights are. Maybe we can get those cheap because I haven't heard of it.
All right, so a couple.
Apparently. A psychic picks clue of- game is like their tagline.
Okay.
Okay.
It's a co-op game that blends the aspects of murder mystery games and card-based guessing.
I feel like you got it already. We got it. Psychic clue game.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
So I got a couple of ideas. And I had to sit down and dig some games out because I don't play a lot of games anymore. And the stuff that I did play, I'm not going to watch a movie about. So Return to Obra Dinn, could be a great, moody, black and white detective story with a supernatural feel to it. It's would have a totally unique style to it. And think the Lighthouse with Knives Out.
Okay, that's a weird combination, but
yeah. I'm in. Yeah, something that they haven't been able to do yet, but they're still working on is BioShock.
I would love to see that as a movie. I think they're still working on it, right?
Like, I think they still are, but this could be like very much the next Westworld. So I think that would be cool if done right.
Yeah, BioShock is a cool story. Too long to explain what it is, but it's an underwater world, and actually, there's a couple different worlds you could go with. Is it the third game, BioShock Infinite? Is that the one where they're in the clouds? I love that world. I just love that world. So
yeah. And then there's a game called Papers, Please. It's a gritty, slow burn thriller set in fictional Eastern Bloc checkpoint. It's kind of like bureaucracy meets moral tension. It's very, very Black Mirror.
Okay.
Well, love that.
Here's what I want. Okay. And I don't have a plot description. I'm just telling you, I want someone to make these movies. I want rock, paper, scissors. Figure it out.
Parchment, boulder, shears.
Yeah, something. Rock, paper, scissors. I want to figure that out. And what you could have three characters, and each one has rock, paper, scissors, and basically they're trying to save the world, and they have to, I don't know, go through different tests. And
they're going through a maze, and they're trying to get out, so every decision they have to rock, paper, scissors.
Fine. I'm in. Just make that work. You can make freaking Minecraft work. I think you can make rock, paper, scissors work. And I play a game every quite often, usually on Wednesdays with my buddies, have for many, many years, called Prominence Poker on Xbox. And all it is we really just play it so we can BS for an hour or two, you know? So it's just, we're just playing poker. That's all it is. Make that a movie. Make it like a Rounders or something. I don't know, but just find the plot within. Because there's characters in that game that some NPCs that bounce around. So you could make something out of that. I don't know how you do it, but I will watch it just because you named it after something I play every Wednesday. Okay. That freaking simple.
Is it bad that I have never seen Rounders? I just had to look it up.
What? Matt Damon and John Malkovich, at the most Malkovich cast he's ever been at his entire life. He has the worst accent in film history. It's amazing. And he's proud of it.
I mean, it's got good ratings. I need
poker chips. I don't even remember what he's doing, but it's insane. It's just insane.
Yeah, I got to check this out, I guess. I've literally never heard of it.
It's so fun. And his performance is fun. It's almost like he's in a movie that no one else is in.
I love that explanation. Yeah,
that's what he's doing. All right, well, speaking of movies that are insane, we're going to move on to a little game. So this one's been done. I know it's been done by other people, but we're going to do it ourselves, and I don't care. But Jason Statham, right? His most recent movie just came out last weekend, A Working Man. Once again, it's a hit. Took down Snow White. Jason Statham's so badass, he took down Snow White. That's just harsh. But his movies have a lot in common, right? They're usually like he's a badass or an avenging angel of some sort. He has some former specialty that makes him a badass, and of course he has a pretty normal job. He's been a mechanic, which actually was a hitman, but he's been a mechanic and a working man and a beekeeper and all these other things. There's been jokes about making the librarian, so he'd be like, if you raise your voice, I'm gonna kick your ass, you know, like that. So let's make our own Jason Statham movie. So first we have to agree, we got three things we have to agree on. First is a reason for his revenge or his involvement in a plight of vengeance of some sort. What do we got? Who's got an idea?
I'm going to go with
somebody in his family wronged him.
Okay. Well, he's usually a loner, but I like this family. Okay. What do you got, Jen?
All right. Former MI6 betrayed him. So a former MI6 team betrayed him, and he was the only survivor of the from the mission.
So what is he avenging? That betrayal?
Yeah, that betrayal.
I'm going to lean more toward family. That feels more Statham. But I think we can tie in what you just said and make that the his former experience.
Okay.
Maybe you can tie it.
Well, no, I have one for his former experience that I really like.
Okay, we'll make that pitch. Let's go with family because we're voting, so it's 2-1. Sorry, buddy.
Okay, so we're going with family?
Yep. I think you got to have family. Well, let's say, let's make it a niece. What do you think, Amanda? Let's make it a niece or something.
That's fair. Yeah. So he's still not a committal person, but he loves his family.
There you
love
go.
Love it.
So how about this for that idea? Let's build it off a little bit. His daughter was recruited into an underground fight club.
Niece. Posing niece. As a, we don't want daughter. Niece. Got to be. Because right, he's so a loner, man.
His niece was.
It's Jason Statham.
His niece was recruited into an underground fight club posing as a yoga retreat. That's the deal.
What the fuck?
I'm in. So she goes to yoga. She like shows up with a mat and everything. And then It's like an underground fight club and they won't let her leave.
That's right.
Okay. I'm in.
Yeah. So,
sorry, Amanda.
And then his.
This is wild.
Well, I just build off of your idea.
Have you seen his movies? This is fine. We're fine.
This is fine.
Yeah.
So, and then his former specialty, he was a demolition expert who once rigged a cruise ship to explode and then unexplode.
Was he
That's in interesting.
Speed 2 or something?
No. Not speed two.
Okay, so he's a demolitions expert.
Yes,
but also
he likes to blow stuff up.
Coincidentally,
that's perfect because that's the vocation I want. Okay,
hang on. Coincidentally, he's also a martial artist because while he's waiting for bombs and shit to blow up, he has to a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So what's the
I
job?
Want his vocation to be a firefighter.
Oh, so we call it the firefighter.
Yeah,
and the he blows shit up,
and he's going to save his niece
from an underground fight club.
I was going to go with ice cream truck driver.
Nope.
What the fuck? That's
firefighter
creepy.
Fits what you said. What? The ice cream truck driver.
That's why it's so much different. Nah. He had to go so far away from it.
That's too far. Now we're too far.
We call the movie Cold Justice.
Cold Justice.
That's a little too Seagal for my liking.
You're so ridiculous.
All right. I think we got a firefighter movie. This makes sense to me. This makes sense. Badass.
Yay.
He's a former demolitions expert. Also a martial artist whose niece gets tricked from yoga into an underground fight club, and he's got to go.
Let's say he does jiu-jitsu instead of just like martial arts.
Whatever he does, I don't care.
He's a good like physical close combat.
Maybe he just does fighter. What was that stuff in like the 90s? The PX90 was that what it was called?
P90X.
That's what he did.
A little workout, the at home workout.
He just works out.
Oh, he's a CrossFit guy.
That's
okay.
Fine. Yeah, the firefighter is going to be awesome, and obviously everybody's going to see it. It's going to be a great
I love
movie.
It. I'm excited for it.
All right.
And also, this is copyrighted, so you need to send us money if you want to use it.
Statham, you can use it if you call direct.
All you got to do is call us and just say, I want to use your firefighter pitch.
That just ruined it all. Now he's offended.
I'm sorry.
No, he's got a good sense of humor. He
does.
Can
he's
take
actually
it.
Very funny. He's in real life. You know what? I find this fascinating. While you have I don't want to say poor. Rachel Zegler, she's obviously needs to be trained in how to do media. Okay, fine. But you have her and she's doing media and just causing a big mess for herself forever. Jason Statham keeps making hit movies. He hardly ever does interviews. Good luck finding interviews in the last couple of years. He just doesn't do them. He just chooses not to. He keeps everything very private. He doesn't do any social media. Doesn't care. Like apparently in his contracts, he's like, I'll take a lot less if I don't have to go promote this damn thing. Because he does not do hardly any interviews. It's wild, but he's a very funny guy.
Well, that harkens back to the mystique and the power of not having that much access to the movie stars.
That's what he wants. Yeah.
Yeah. It's great. It's brilliant for him to be doing that. I remember listening to stories of some of like Clark Gables or stars like that who had to be like airlifted on sabbaticals directly after filming a movie because they wanted to keep them out of the public eye as much as possible.
Yeah. And when I think Jason Statham, I usually think Clark Gable.
See, there we go.
Sorry. Hey. There are some upcoming attractions we're going to talk about. Amanda and I are going to take turns on this, and we're going to start with theatrical, and then we're going to tell you what's coming out. Theatrical, streaming, and digital next week. Fair enough. Amanda, you ready?
I'm ready.
Go first. You go ahead.
All right. So April 11th, we have Warfare, from filmmakers Alex Garland and Ray Mendoza. A platoon of Navy SEALs embark on a dangerous mission in Ramadi, Iraq, with the chaos and brotherhood of war retold through their memories of the event.
Now, I've heard this is Alex Garland's best movie since Ex Machina, which is saying a lot to me. So I'm in. Then we've got Drop. That's from Blumhouse and director Christopher Langdon. A widowed mother's first date in years takes a terrifying turn when she's bombarded with anonymous threatening messages on her phone during their upscale dinner, leaving her questioning if her charming date is behind the harassment. And drop means drops on your phone, right?
Sure. I don't know. If you read the description, it doesn't sound very enticing to me, but it's a Blumhouse.
The trailer's good. Trailer's film, fun.
So, yeah, I'll still watch it. We have The Amateur with Rami Malek and John Bernthal.
Yeah.
A CIA cryptographer manages to blackmail his agency into training him to let him go after a group of terrorists killed his wife.
Let me tell you, he had... spoiler alert. Not really. It's been a few weeks, but he was on Daredevil as the Punisher. You know, they brought the Punisher back for a scene.
Mm-hmm. We all knew it was happening.
Yeah. He has like one scene and he's phenomenal. Like phenomenal. As soon as that scene showed up, yes. I'm like, why don't we have a Punisher show instead of Daredevil? I care so much more mm-hmm. about this than mm-hmm. I do. He was just so good. So good. Streaming. Switch to streaming. G20 on April 10th on Prime. And this is Viola Davis and Anthony Starr, by the way. So Homelander is in this. This is basically their best version of Die Hard. I just heard him on an interview today, and he was talking about how much he loves Viola Davis, and he thinks this movie's a lot of fun. So terrorists take over the G20 summit with President Sutton, bringing her governing and military experience to defend her family, company, and the world. So it's Viola Davis kicking some ass, and if you've seen a few of her movies, you know she can beat some ass, so this should be fun.
We stan her. Something I'm excited to watch is Black Mirror Season 7 coming to Netflix on April 10th.
Ooh.
Another 6 episodes with a star-studded ensemble, including Paul Giamatti, Christine Milioti.
Kristen.
Oh, it rhymes.
Kristen Milioti.
Kristen Milioti. Issa Rae, Awkwafina, and Peter Capaldi, as well the series first returned to a previous storyline with glimpses of the USS Callister. I have no idea what that is, but I love Black Mirror.
It's the Star Trek episode. It's kind of like Star Trek. Oh, okay. Yep. Which is good. And she's great. I will watch Kristen Milioti in anything. Your Friends and Neighbors are April 11th, too. Apple TV Plus, John Hamm plays a hedge fund manager who recently divorced and then fired in disgrace, finds himself resorting to a life of crime by breaking into his wealthy neighbor's homes. So John Hamm is just playing a dick.
That's a stretch.
I'm going to watch it because I love John Hamm.
I love him too, but his best roles is already he's being a dick.
That's true. Yep. That's true. It is. All right. So coming to digital on April 11th, we have Gunslingers with Nick Cage and Stephen Dorff.
You know, that's big money.
When the most wanted man in America surfaces in a small Kentucky town, his violent history and a bloodthirsty mob seeking vengeance and a king's ransom soon follow. As brothers face off against one another and bullets tear the town to shreds, this lightning-fast gunslinger makes his enemies pay the ultimate price for their greed.
Ooh. And then lastly, dogs are people too. They are. April 11th is a documentary from dog lawyers in Detroit to clone farms in Iowa. Dogs are people too explores the four-legged civil rights movement sweeping across America. Dogs may soon be considered non-human persons, changing the human-dog bond forever.
That better mean that your bereavement policies are getting updated, okay?
Yeah, hopefully. And Dallas Howard is also doing a movie called Pets, I think, for Disney Plus. I think it comes out the same day. Dogs and pets, and I'm just a happy guy. I just love it. And then maybe some Stephen Dorff to cleanse the palate. All right, John, it's now time for you and I to review Minecraft. Amanda did not see it because she sucks. I don't know. She's not awesome. I don't know what the plot is. I'll start there. I'll read what IMDb says, okay? So four misfits are suddenly pulled through a mysterious portal into a bizarre cubic wonderland that thrives on imagination, and to get back home, they have to master this world while embarking on a quest with an unexpected expert crafter. Now, if you've ever played Minecraft, Jack Black plays Steve, and then the rest are just randos from the real world. You've got Jason Momoa as Garrett, Sebastian Hansen as Henry, Emma Myers as Natalie. She's really an up-and-comer. I really like her work. And Danielle Brooks as Dawn. And then, of course, you got Jennifer Coolidge back in the real world. Now, we're not going to spoil anything, but this was a weird, weird movie.
And I like how you had to say weird twice.
So we're gonna.
It wasn't just a weird movie. It was a weird, weird movie.
We're going to talk pretty casual. Did you play Minecraft at all? Have you played?
I never played Minecraft. I had friends who played it. My nieces and nephews have all played it. I've always been shown their worlds, and I'm like, that's really awesome because I like it when anyone can starts to use that creative mind of theirs, and I get to enjoy watching that do that. It's too much for me, and I would end up getting kind of bored with it if I tried to play it myself. But yeah, I never played it myself. You?
I've played it once, didn't get it, wasn't for me. That's one of those games, right? But it's essentially building blocks, right? It's just, and we talked about it earlier in the podcast, but it's like you build a world. It's really about creativity. You can make the world anything you want, essentially. Would you say that's fair?
That's very fair.
Okay. Well, this movie, nothing about it is what I expected. I'll start there and try to be fair with that. We're going to talk pretty casual. We're not going to spoil the movie. I'm just going to tell you what we think about it. So it opens, I'm not making this up, it opens with probably a good 10-minute exposition scene.
Yeah, 10 to 15-minute exposition, completely narrated by Jack Black.
And it feels like it's a whole movie on its own. Like, there's enough there for one movie. And then you get back to the real world, and that gets you back to this world, and it's just, you know, them connecting with Steve, Jack Black Steve, and having this really, well, I should explain, Jason Momoa's character Garrett is an 80s video game champion who now has a video game store that's just dying.
Wait. Hold on. You're missing the best part of the description, okay?
What's the best part?
Not only was he an 1989 video game champion, but he was the video game champion of a partner's video game, but he played by himself because he was able to use the controllers and hit all the buttons with his hands at the same time. So he just played both characters on this co-op game and beat people that way because he is the garbage man.
Yes, he's the garbage man. Here's what I got to say about this, okay? I literally don't know how I feel about this movie until we get finished with this review, but I will tell you, I loved Jason Momoa.
Oh, God.
Jason Momoa.
Tighten up!
The whole movie, I mean, Jack Black is Jack Black. He's literally the Jack Black you see everywhere and everything doing the same things. And he's great at that. He gets to sing. He's got great pipes. Everybody knows that. And he's always got that crazy manic energy in this movie. Like, he's always... But Jason Momoa...
Matches.
Yes.
Yes.
I would say surpasses. Because he's got that 80s vibe, you know, and I love there's a... What is the quote? Like, make a song, make a metal, make it hard, real instruments. It's like that kind of dude, right? Devil horns everywhere he goes. He's that kind of dude. Only he's wearing a freaking pink jacket. He doesn't care, and he's wearing jeans without a belt, so he's constantly having to pull him up. He's got that dad bod, but also ripped muscles. I mean, he's totally an 80s guy with
the hair. He's wearing the Oakleys, the blade Oakleys that go over his entire face.
God, I loved him so much. Everything he does, the movie would get weird, and just because you've got black characters, and I'm not quite sure if the story ever knows what it's doing. And it's kind of all over the place, but it's endlessly creative, which I liked. A lot. Yeah. And then every time you've got Momoa just doing something ridiculous or yelping or running away like a bitch. I mean, it's just fantastic. I think he is the best point and part of the movie.
He's like a perfect counter to the energy that Jack Black's giving. It's Jack Black shows up and he's got this like swagger about him that is almost unearned because he's just in this world.
He's right on the whole Jack Black persona, really.
Yeah, Yeah, he's just, but he's got that great energy about him, and Momoa is matching him move by move. But the only difference is Momoa isn't as badass as he thinks he is. He tries to be, and he sucks at it.
He's a boob.
Yeah,
that's the best part. Is he's playing like if he was the lame version of himself. You know, like the loser version of Jason Momoa. That's what he's doing. The guy who wants to be Jason Momoa. You know, he's got a freaking Trans Am and, you know, he thinks he's hot shit. And, you know, I can pick up babes whenever I want. Nobody's getting in his car. Nobody wants to be near him. His car doesn't even work half the time. And he pouts and throws tantrums. And he's just sad at life.
He's the version of Aquaman everyone thought they were getting.
That's true. That's true. Oh, that's funny. So there, I'll say that. That's my most positive thing about the movie is I loved Momoa. Emma Myers, too. I think she's really talented. And she was in A Good Girl's Guide to Murder.
Yes.
I'm a big fan of hers. Sebastian Hansen was okay as Henry. But in terms of the cast, I mean, Momoa is really the one that impressed me most.
Everyone was really great. But yeah, you're very much right. I think Momoa made a lot of great choices that was counter to his whole image, but also put him into a different category for the future. His sure. ability to just transform into this character, because everyone thinks of Momoa as being like 100% swagger and badass and don't mess with him, but yet this character is not that at all.
Yeah, he totally put himself out there, and I respect
yeah
that.
It's
and it's, they do, they're like a great buddy team.
They really are. Yeah, they really are.
Jack Black and Jason Momoa are a great buddy team.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, they seem like they were just meant to be together for some reason. I don't know why. Now, what did you think about the whole concept of this world? Do you like the, I mean, because making Minecraft a movie is an impossible task, and I realize they're just doing it for the IP, and because, as we learned earlier, 300 million games sold, right? That's it's a very valuable IP.
Yeah.
And it's going to do very well worldwide because it's just a goofy, colorful movie that's meant for kids. I mean, I think hell is the worst word you hear in this thing.
Yeah. The thing I'll say is that I was paying attention to the crowd that was in the movie with me. So for as much as I possibly could while I was watching the movie. And it was very cool because by paying attention to the crowd, you can definitely tell the nods to the game. And because, you know, something would show up on screen and everyone like, oh, and, you know, and that
yeah,
was.
And I would know those things. Yeah.
Yeah, we wouldn't know those things are while we're watching it, but the crowd knew it. The crowd was connected. And so that part of it was very cool. But as somebody who didn't like the game or didn't get into the game, I guess is a better way to put it, or what the game wasn't for me, I'd say that the world was fun but creative, and it found a way to translate it, because the game isn't very pretty to look at. It's very like 8-bit graphics, right? It's sure. designed to be that way, to break it down to the simplest form. And they found a way to transfer the 8-bit graphic look, but and still keep that in the game or in the movie, but also you have a full 8K resolution on the screen too. Mm-hmm. So it was very nice to see that play with graphics versus the nods to the game. I thought it was fun. I thought that they were able to really capitalize on the creativity that can go into the game. I remember the times that I've seen crazy things happen where I've seen people create these chicken launchers in the game. I've seen the roller coasters, so that like there's a scene where they're on a cable car thing, and I've seen people create roller coasters like that and in the
red
game.
Mines. They're called the yeah. red mines. Yeah.
All that. So it's very cool to see what they were able to do and how they were able to craft a story around something that doesn't necessarily have a story.
One might say how they were able to mine and craft a story. Huh?
Huh? Ah! Huh? Yeah! Wait, what we're going to do is it was like on 1, 2, 3 and what now?
Yeah! Stop, just go. So great. I'll never get tired of that. I know people hate when he does that, like in Aquaman and whatnot. Screw you. Uh-huh. Love it. Absolutely love it. He just does it. And here he yelps too.
Yeah. Hey! He's like, ah!
So good. One thing I appreciate about the movie is, yes, the world is completely creative.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always something visually unique popping up. I didn't love the movie. I really thought like the actual plot was idiotic most of the time. Like it just made no zero sense. I'm sure if you're a fan of Minecraft, it probably does, but it made no sense to me, the uninitiated. But I did like that it was going for a really specific, weird sense of humor, and a lot of that stuff worked. I mean, yeah. Even with the weird, blocky characters, you know, there's a lot of jokes through them, and Steve is obsessed with his dog, Dennis, who's a block dog, and, mm-hmm. you know, there's unique things going on with alpacas in this world, and chickens, and just eating lava and chicken sticks or whatever. There's a lot of creativity and just weird humor, and I appreciated that. Director Jared Hess really filtered in the humor.
Yeah, no, they did a really good job. I won't ruin the scene, but the last scene with Malgosha was hysterical. It just hit all the right ways. And, you know, I will say this. I when I was watching the movie, I'm like, this movie is not for me, right? Mm-hmm. It's not anything that I would want to watch. It's not anything that I can appreciate or connect to or any of those other things. But damn it, did I have a good time.
That's the problem I have with it. I didn't like the movie at all, but I liked the movie enough. Like I was laughing. I was smiling through a lot. I don't know where I am in it. I really just don't know what I think about this goddamn thing. Because I'm sitting there watching it going, I love whenever Momoa's on screen. I love everything he's doing. It's so ridiculous. And he's totally allowing himself to be an idiot. And I love the chemistry with Jack Black. And the kids are fun. I like Emma Myers. Again, she grounds the movie a little bit as the sister trying to protect her brother. And, you know, it's just the plot makes no sense. It's just so wild and weird and generic kind of. It's almost like,
it's your typical MacGuffin plot. That's all it is.
Yeah. It's just there for hijinks, right?
Yeah.
That's all it is. But the humor really works most of the time for me. I think it goes on a little too long. It could have wrapped up a little quicker or got going a little quicker. I don't know which, but man, I mean, if you told me Jack Black and Jason Momoa were going to spin off and do like a buddy comedy, I would watch it in a heartbeat. Like that's how much I enjoyed those two. So,
oh my God, I almost want to see a buddy cop movie with the two of them.
Absolutely, man. Or just anything where they're on a road trip. I don't care. A road trip through Minecraft country. I don't care.
Oh my God.
Not Lovecraft country, Minecraft country. Boom.
Yeah. Minecraft country. There's block bats out there.
Sold. HBO.
I got some crazy Hunter S. Thompson story in my head now.
I think this would be awesome. I mean, I think that's all I can really tell. I do like the animation. I think the effects are very good. It's enjoyable enough. I think kids are going to love it. Families will probably have a good time. It's just not a great movie, but I still had a good time. That's where I'm at with it.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like I said, it's not a movie. It's not a movie for me, but I had a good time and I enjoyed every single minute of it that I could enjoy. I do agree the intro with all that exposition was maybe a little bit too much. It's
clunky,
and kind of like
very clunky.
Kind of clunky and almost immediately takes you out. It's funny because it happened at the beginning of the movie. It's almost like an afterthought that they kind of like, well, we got to explain why Steve's here.
Yeah, and they just like jammed it in, almost like the end of Lord of the Rings, for Christ's sake. I mean, it's so much exposition.
So much.
Yeah.
There's a great little clip in the credits that was kind of funny. Matt Berry shows up. Well, the voice of Matt Berry shows up, so I always have room for him in my life.
Mm.
It's not a movie that's for me, but damn it, I had a good time.
That's the third time you've said that, so I think you should put that on a t-shirt. So if $10 is the full price for admission, what do you get Minecraft?
Because I had to say it three times, it's going to be $5 because damn it, I had a good time.
I give it $5.50. And really, you should pay the ticket price just so you can see Jack Black and Jason Momoa go nose to toes. It happens in the movie. And also, you get Jack Black riding Jason Momoa like a like a Shetland pony. These things make it worth the trip to the cinema all on their own.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's move into what you've been watching. This is the last bit, Amanda. Now, I'll let you go first because you have 47. But let's start with your first one here. What do you got?
Okay, so Suits LA, which is the one of the spinoffs of the original Suits show, is now on Peacock. And I rewatched Suits. I actually finished because I hadn't watched the entire series. I had dropped off for one reason or another. So I finished that out. Then I tried watching Suits LA, and it is pretty terrible. I hate to say it, but Stephen Amell should not be our basically new Harvey Specter.
He doesn't have the charisma, man.
He does not at all. It feels very moot and boring to watch that show. It just doesn't have the same chemistry and pizzazz and wit that the original Suits had. So don't really recommend, but I will say it was cute to see Harvey Specter make a return in like episode 3 or 4, I think it was. But even that was not worth it. I had to fast forward through.
So are you done? Did you drop it?
Yeah, I one episode and I was not willing to do another.
Fair enough. John, you want to mention Falling Skies real quick? It's an old one.
And I have one thing to mention after that too. But because I've fallen in love with the show The Pitt, and I love Noah Wiley and just about everything he's done, I decided to go and revisit one of his older shows, Falling Skies. It's a post-apocalyptic sci-fi drama about a group of humans who are surviving fighting and an alien invasion. Mm-hmm. And he leads, he's a former history professor who leads a troop of people called the Second Mass. And I just think it's a great show. You can find it on HBO Max. And I never really was able to watch it from the beginning to the end. So this is the first time I'm taking the time to do that. And it's got a rich, good story to it. And it's got a lot of layers. So I'm really enjoying that. And it's made me very happy to revisit and then see things about the show that I missed when I was on TV before. So again, that's Falling Skies on HBO Max.
Okay, so I saw The Residence, which is basically Knives Out in the White House, and I want to say it's 8 episodes, and it stars Uzo Aduba. She was in Orange is the New Black as the star Cordelia Cupp, who's basically Benoit Blanc or Sherlock Holmes, whatever. She's the best detective in the world. She's obsessed with birding. It's weird. And there's a murder in the White House, and well, one thing I do think is interesting is this was originally going to also have Andre Brower.
R.I.P.
And he passed away while they were filming. So Giancarlo Esposito, who is a friend of his, stepped in and took his spot. And you can obviously tell he played this role completely different. But he plays A.B. Winter, who I don't want to say too much, but you can just, it's a mystery. It's a murder mystery. It goes over 8 episodes. And it's about who could have done it. And we're really following a lot of the staff and some of the higher staff in the White House and who could have committed this crime. It's a really fun show, a lot of humor. It's a Shondaland production, so it's Shonda Rhimes. And it's created, written by Paul William Davis, although Davies all the way around. He wrote every episode. And it's very fun. It is drawn out too much. I really think this could have been done in half the episodes, maybe a good 2.5-hour movie, really.
But I would agree.
Would you finish it too?
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you, like, the final episode is a fantastic reveal episode. Like,
so good.
It was such a great wrap up. Like, I loved it. Absolutely loved it. And there's a lot of red herrings and there's a lot of things going this way or that way. They really pay off all the clues that they had been building up to for the previous 7 episodes. Like, it's worth it. Like, it really delivers at the end. And you get a lot of stories kind of diving into people doing everyday jobs at the White House, which I thought was really interesting. So I really recommend The Residence, and it's on Netflix. And, you know, I would give it a good $7 in terms of the score. It's just, it's a good show. Very good show. Worth the watch. I would definitely watch another season.
Oh, sorry. Score. Suits LA, 1.
Okay.
So next up, I have The Life List, which is a little romance comedy on Netflix. Basically, this woman's mom passes away and sends her like a bucket list to complete. And that's how she is able to get her inheritance. It's a cute coming of age self-discovery film, but nothing that's incredibly new or inventive, I would say. It stars Sophia Carson and she's adorable, but and Connie Britton. I love Connie Britton. Anytime she's in anything, that's basically her mom. So it was a cute story. And I liked that there were the moments where she is accepting the loss of her mom through this process. So I'd give it like 550. Again, nothing new or crazy, but it was a cute movie.
Where was that one at?
Netflix.
Netflix.
My OG.
John, did you have one more?
I checked out Death of a Unicorn over the weekend.
That's fun. I like that one.
It's such a stupid, fun movie, and I just loved everything about it. I kept on being reminded of the stories that Kevin Smith is trying to develop Moose Jaws, and if he ever pulls it off, this is what Moose Jaws would probably be compared to way too much. And Will Poulter is just making a meal of every bit of scenery, and it's so much fun to watch him on screen.
And Death of a Unicorn is about?
Death of the Unicorn. So you have Paul Rudd and Jenna Ortega, their daughter and father, who are going into this this meeting with his company, the heads of his company, as he's about to try to take over as like the head of this board for the company. But they have an accident along the way, and they hurt a unicorn, and they take the unicorn back to this meeting, and then hilarity ensues because it becomes this whole plot that I don't want to give too much detail about, but
unicorns attack, man. That's like,
yes,
that's
the point. Unicorns do attack there on after, because
that was the longest way you could possibly take to say unicorns attacking people. There you
yes,
go.
It's well worth it.
That is one that I can't wait to check out. I didn't have an opportunity at South by, so now I get to see it in the theaters.
Yeah. I give it 5.5 stars. It's a lot of fun.
That doesn't sound like a lot of fun. That sounds like okay.
Well,
above average.
It's above barely. Average.
Okay. All right. Snow White. Okay. I saw Snow White. Mm. I know it's probably gone, but by the time you hear this is not doing so well. Rachel Zegler stars as Snow White. Gal Gadot is the evil queen. And, you know, if you know... and also the stepmother. If you know the story, it's really just a live action retelling of the Disney version of Snow White. They have changed things. The love story isn't as important. It's still there. The dwarfs are no longer dwarfs. They're just named smaller people, and they're CGI creations, and they look kind of terrible. So here's the thing. I think the CGI looks terrible. I think Gal Gadot is actually kind of fun. She's like borderline camp in the role, and I enjoy her, except when she sings. She shouldn't. She should never do that again. Just like with Imagine, she proved that she just can't sing. It's actually a good song. Like, I like the song. She can't sing. I mean, I'm just sitting there going, is there auto-tune in this shit or what? Like, let's get some. Rachel Zegler, I realize, boy, has she polarized a big portion of the country. You know, and it's too bad, because this could have been a huge role for her and a big outburst for her. I did a little kind of Patreon episode where I kind of spoke to the controversies of this, because she's very opinionated, and she has also kind of did trash the original cartoon and say, you know, it was too outdated, which it is, but also you're trying to sell it to old fans and new fans alike. Maybe don't, you know, trash the one that you're basing an entire movie around. I get why people are upset with her. I really do. And then, you know, but I also say she's young. I give a lot of leeway to someone of that age, because we all said and did stupid shit at that time. Should Disney deal with it? Sure. And should you definitely not do that if you're trying to sell a massive multi-million dollar movie? Yes, you should. Be more sensible, be more mature. But the movie is the movie. And you can't change how the movie plays. She's actually very good in the movie. She definitely has the Snow White persona down. I think she does a very good job with that. She has a beautiful voice. She's a wonderful singer. That's just a fact. However you feel about her outside of the movie, that's your place, and you can feel however you want. It didn't detract me from the movie. Like, it's an enjoyable enough movie. It's entertaining enough. I would probably give it about a 5.5, too. I enjoyed it. I don't love it. It's nothing I'm going to rave about. You know, I liked it about the same as Mufasa. I mean, it felt like a live action Disney flick. and the dwarves really hurt a lot of it. They have good interactions and stuff, but the CGI is very just distracting. John, it would probably drive you nuts. There's a lot of uncanny valley there.
Yeah, I saw the trailers and I'm not going to do it.
You're not going to torture yourself as an artist?
No,
good
sir.
Call. But again, I think the controversy is grossly overblown. just like most controversies are these days. But I understand why, especially fans would be pissed. I mean, you can't just shit on the thing that you're making a version of. I just don't think that's the way you handle it. But we'll see what happens after that. I think Gal Gadot would probably walk out of this unscathed, honestly. Because
what would you end up with your score for this one?
550.
Okay. I have two left, and I'll be quick about them.
How much stuff were you watching when we were gone, huh?
You're the long... Well, you know, I quit my job, so I have some time right now. So, Adolescence.
Oh, my God. That was so good.
So good. I thought this was going to be a show. It's on Netflix. I thought this was going to be a show about, did this kid really do this horrible thing and kill this little girl? Mm-hmm. That is not what this show is about.
Well, it is. I mean, it is. It's about a kid arrested for murder, allegedly murdering a young girl. But it's really, go ahead.
But more principally, it's about the effect that this has on family members and particularly parents. But just a lot of people don't think about how awful it is for those families. Let's say of like, I'm going to just use an example of like a school shooter. Immediately people are attacking the parents and they're awful and it's your fault and they get harassed and people get violent. They get death threats. Like a lot of things happen and sometimes not always with anything, but there are people who are completely innocent. Like they had no idea. They raised their kid so well. And so this was an incredible look into that component on top of what did this kid potentially do? What are the allegations? What actually played out? And surprisingly, especially for Aaron, I'm sure, because you're not a big fan of young actors typically.
Not usually, no.
But Owen Cooper, who plays Jamie Miller, is outstanding.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Truly incredible. Like I was beyond impressed with this kid. And
it's his first role. That's his first role.
Oh, really? I didn't know it was his first.
Owen Cooper. Amazing. Yep.
Yeah, he's going places.
And you left out a big part of it. Like they're also looking at incel behavior and kind of social media impact on young boys in particular and what that does to mental health because they're dealing with so much adult material before they're mentally capable. And it's fascinating.
It's the ease of people being able to bully you too. Like at least when we were younger, we could escape it when we went home or we went to the movies or we went, you know, somewhere that made us feel safe, right?
Now it's everywhere because the online is your community. Exactly. It's your community. Yeah.
And so you can't escape it if you're the kid who's being bullied. So it was really, really great. I think it was only like, what, four episodes or something? Yeah, it was fairly short.
Four episodes. It doesn't do anything a normal true crime, or not true crime, but a crime drama would do. It does it very specifically its own way.
And the last thing that
before you move on, you got to talk about the shooting, or I'm going to talk about the shooting style. Each one of those episodes is one shot. So they do, from start to finish, they rehearsed it multiple times. And even Owen Cooper plays that kid, you know, the third episode is really a lot about his psychology and it's a one shot. Like it's one episode and the camera doesn't break. And I think it's episode two because all the episodes are like that. And I think it's even the second one. The second one has a shot that I thought was just freaking phenomenal. John, you'll appreciate this because it involves drones. So, you know, throughout the whole, a one shot means the camera doesn't break. They're shooting the whole episode at that time. So they're shooting in 1 hour thing with one shot. They're not breaking, they're not shooting, setting up, and da da da. So they have to practice this multiple times. And as that episode goes on, I think it's episode two, they do a shot from a location while someone's walking, then it picks up and basically flies to the crime scene and sets down there and still focuses and finishes the scene out. It is phenomenal. Like it's phenomenal filmmaking as well as a great story. So I gave that one $8. I don't know what you gave it, but it was well done. Very well done.
Yeah, that's well on my list of things that I want to watch for sure.
Just watch it for that drone shot, man. You love drones. Go check it out.
Yeah.
Okay. So last but not least is Severance, Apple TV Plus. If you haven't heard of this show, I'm genuinely shocked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Essentially, Severance is a story that has it has Adam Scott in it as the lead guy, and it's created or just produced and partially written by Ben Stiller. I don't know the specifics there, but I think he was just a producer.
He was a creator too, I think. But go ahead.
Was he?
I don't remember, but go ahead.
So anyhow, the whole thing is about what happens if we were to separate our work life.
Dan Erickson is the creator.
Dan Erickson. Right. Yep. If we were to separate our work life from our personal life, you don't have to even think about the work stress when you go home because your brain literally is separated into two. And this happens when there's like a trigger, you know, that happens when they go through the elevator. And season two just wrapped up. It had its finale recently, had a very, oh my God, the conclusion to the season was well worth it. Well worth it. If you haven't watched Severance, it's like a little bit mind bendy and twisty, and there's nice surprises. And it just makes you think about some of the things yourself. Like, my question is always, if your wife, okay, I'm going to use Aaron as an example. Your wife,
Am I the wife? Am I the wife in this scenario?
No, you've been severed. You're you.
Okay.
You've been severed though. Your wife, you have your innie, which is at work, and your outie, which is outside of work.
Okay.
Your outie and your wife hang out every night. You guys do your business.
Okay.
What if your wife and your innie hooked up? Is it cheating? It's still you, but you have a completely different personality because we're shaped by all of our experiences.
I think this is
crazy. No, it's very wild. But anyhow, I feel.
Wait. My question to that is, is it my wife as I know her at night or when we are at home, or is it my wife when she is also at work?
She's not severed.
What does it matter? They're the same person.
But you have different personalities.
So does everybody that has a job. That's not weird. That's normal. This feels like overthinking a normal context.
No. Well, I just wanted to see, but no, yeah. If your wife has relations with your innie, then no, it's not treated. Not cheating.
It's a complicated topic.
I think you can have a foursome. That's what I'm thinking.
Let me real quick I'm going to skip to you kind of the final review. Season two ended wild. I personally felt like it was cheap writing. I know that it makes sense, but I feel like it was still cheap. I'm not going to spoil anything. Don't you worry. And I know there's a lot of people who feel very differently from me. I'm in the minority. Most people are obsessed with the way it ended. But I feel that the choices made were just cheap and easy ways to continue the season. So it's just my feeling. I liked it a lot, though. It's not better than season one, in my opinion, but I would still give it like a good 8.5.
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it. And yeah, a lot of people are talking about it. All I got from Severance coming out is it led me to the news that Ted Lasso is definitely coming back for season 4, and it's officially confirmed. That's really all I care about. I tried Severance, tried it twice. It's just not for me. I'm not knocking it. I know everybody loves it. I'm happy for them. I'm happier to watch something else. So
like Ted Lasso.
Yeah, like Ted Lasso Reacher. Season 4.
Reacher was really good.
We're literally trying to keep it to an hour.
No.
We're trying to keep it to an hour.
We're already at an hour and 20 minutes.
And it's all because of you. It's all your fault this time.
You wanted conversation. Damn.
This is just you talking.
Fuck me for trying.
Yeah, but we don't need to talk about Reacher anymore. We all saw it. We all love it. But Aaron has done all the talking that needs to be done on Reacher.
I was just saying he was right.
Okay, well, now we can hear her out on this part. Yes.
All right.
The right part. Just say that one more time.
Okay.
Aaron was right about Reacher.
Okay.
It was great.
That's it.
I love the season 3 ending.
So good. The fight between him and Polly. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
And dude, he's so big.
All natural, Amanda. That's what he keeps saying. I'm like, nobody looks like that all natural, dude. Nobody. It's impossible.
So the only thing that messed me up about Polly and Reacher is so that the actors are, Alan is 6'3 mm-hmm. or 6'2.
or 6'2". 6'2", you're right. He's 3 inches.
Yeah, short. So Alan is 6'2", so he's my height. And then Pauly, the actor playing Pauly, is like 7'2".
Okay.
So for Pauly to exist in the world, he's more like, he's almost 8 feet tall.
Why do you say that?
Because he would have to, because he's a whole foot taller than the character, sure, of Reacher.
And Reacher's 6'5 in the books.
So, okay, so then, yeah, even, so it's 3 inches even more. Then. So 3 inches more. No, but the actor is 7'2".
Why are you overthinking this so much? Who cares?
Because he is fucking huge.
So it was a great fight. It was a great fight. Yeah. I don't really care what is. I'm not taking measurements. I'm not grabbing and I'm not taking a tape around him. Don't make it weird.
Well, they also explain, too.
Let's just go back to Amanda said I was right. And that's all we need to focus on, because we need to wrap this up, because we're trying to make shorter episodes. Because
we're leaving. We're done.
We're done. Goodbye. There we go. We're done. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for listening. And at this point, I'm putting a cap on how many shows we can talk, or things we can talk about at the end of this. I'm telling you that right now. That's going to be a cap.
He's going to edit more than half of this out anyways.
Oh, I have one more.
We're done.
No, nope.
Just kidding.
All right, guys. Share your thoughts on this episode or anything else on our Facebook group or page. We're on Threads, whatever else, but thehollywoodoutsider.com is our website. You can please rate us and subscribe on your preferred podcast app. And remember, the next time you head to a theater or stream comfortably on your couch, buy popcorn. See how easy that was?
We're done. Good night.